At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. Thank you to Vinny Maliulo for joining us as Tiger Watch continues. You know, Michael Lombardi, as we open up the second hour here, Amal Shaw is going to join us. So will Josh. It just makes it better. It's almost like with Tom Brady, how we talked about when he retired and he came back. It's like, look, you can love or hate him. And most people like Brady. He's not overly polarizing. Love or hate him, it makes the sport better. It makes the year better. Love or hate Tiger, it is, I mean, him being involved in the 86 Masters just it puts it on another level, doesn't it?
How about my man Sandy Lyle wearing suspenders out there? That's what I love about the Masters. Some of these old guys, they come back and they play, you know. They kind of walk the course for a couple of days. No, I think Tiger is, Carl Johnson, who our dear friend is from the Beau Rivage down in Biloxi, Chick Jack, and he was a legitimate golfer as a young man. He was a baseball player that transitioned into it. And, you know, he's been watching Tiger's swing, and, you know, he's thinking Tiger's hitting the ball as well as he's ever hit the ball before, because he's not trying to overpower the ball, because the injury has kind of curtailed his ability to really be forceful. And so he's playing within himself. And Chick Jack thinks that he's got a chance to win this just watching these seven holes that he's been able to see so far, which is a fairly remarkable commentary, but it's from somebody who understands the swing and the mechanics.
Well, especially with that back injury. I mean, he's had so many back surgeries, and I think Chick Jack makes a great point where he's kind of stay in his shoes, stay within his swing, not overexert himself. And again, he closed 20-1 here, which is fascinating for a guy that hasn't played.
Yeah,
He hasn't played in a tournament.
Nor has anybody seen him hit a bucket of balls. I mean, nobody's even seen him hit. You know, it's one thing to say he's playing well. You know, I mean, last night they were saying, well, Dustin's not playing well. Spieth isn't putting good. You know, meanwhile, Tiger, nobody's watched him. Okay, we'll just bet Tiger. No big deal.
Patrick Reed won it a few years back, and he closed like 80-1-ish, somewhere in there. Tiger hasn't played an official event in 17 months, and he closed 20-1. He almost lost his leg, and I don't say that, I'm not being exaggerating. He almost lost his leg 14 months ago, and here he is, and he looks good. This is his second shot. He is even, so he dropped a stroke on 7 there, Michael, so we shall continue to follow. We've got the updates throughout the day here on VSiN. Brady doing a great job from the D, but we'll keep you updated as his approach shot looks to be, it's rolling, such undulating greens. You know, I actually was driving in thinking about it. I thought you had told me you had walked Augusta before. Am I mistaken?
Never have. I've never been able to go. My boys want to go, and it's always been around draft time. It's always, when I was in the league, it's always been so hard to get down there. And, you know, it's on the bucket list. I think there's no doubt to walk with your boys and walk that course and see what's going on. I would love to do it. I mean, I love going to golf tournaments. I used to go to Pebble every single year, but this to me is a magical place, partly because of the way they make it almost like the like Father Time never enters the course, whether it's the prices of the egg salad sandwich or the, you know, the iced tea or whatever it is. They just do a remarkable job of keeping it the same, and the traditions uphold everything. That's why, you know, when I see teams change uniforms so much, you know, for me, I like it when a team does it, when, you know, the team stays status quo with what they're doing.
Let me clean that up, Michael. That was a replay they were showing. So he is Tiger 1 under through 7, and we'll keep you updated. Of course, TV will carry it today, 3 o'clock your time, 3 through 7:30 on ESPN. So I'm getting some of the replay.
But if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch it now, which I have here on my computer here at the office. I have ESPN Plus, so you can see it. You know, and you can follow certain groups. I think the Masters feature group of Tiger Woods and the Scheffler group you can follow around. So I'm sure a lot of people getting a lot of work done today at their office, especially golf fans. Yeah, I'm sure that's really going over well, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. By the way, maybe slept on a little bit here. You do have 7 games in the NBA, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but how about your 76ers, who actually Embiid. Embiid's going to wrap up the scoring title. He just passed your boy LeBron, who's out of it. They're in Toronto tonight. Thybulle isn't going to be there. Now, this is a big storyline as far as Thybulle not being able to travel with the team to Toronto because, you know, you have to be fully vaccinated. You have to be vaccinated to get to Toronto. I think Miami and Milwaukee, they have responded that their teams, their full rosters are vaccinated. Obviously, Thybulle isn't. He can't travel with the 76ers tonight. But there you see it. Philly's 1-3 straight. They're tied in the loss column with Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly. Boston's got 2 to play. They won their 50th last night, Michael. Milwaukee's got 3 to play. Philly's got 3 to play. And it matters here as you look at the standings because Philly, 4 right now. They lose the tiebreak to Boston and Milwaukee. Right now, they'd set up to play Toronto, the 5th seed, and that's not a good matchup for your 76ers.
No, I mean, last time they played them in Philadelphia, they held Philly to 88 points, and Philly played their guys. They were an 8-point favorite in that game, and Philly played everybody, you know, and so and they gave up 57 points in the first half. Now, they played better defense in the second half, but, you know, they got out-rebounded 56-40 in that game. You know, and so that was a problem. The last time they played in Toronto, you have to go back during the Christmas break, and Philly won up there. That was the only game they've been able to win against them. They won it up there. And you know, you go back to that game, you don't even know who played or who was playing at that point. So Toronto's playing well now. I mean, Toronto has played well over the last 10 games. They're 7-3. They're 5-2 at home. You know, their offense is averages over 113 points a game. Their defense has played really well. So it's a tough out. Without Thybulle on the court, that means Danny Green goes in. Maybe it helps them a little bit offensively, not particularly as much defensively. And there's still no bench in Philly. You know, I mean, DeAndre Jordan still, other if he makes a dunk, but when his plus minus, when you watch him, when he's on the court, it really doesn't do a whole lot of good for the Philadelphia team. But, you know, my man is still going to play him. It doesn't matter. I mean, he doesn't care. As long as you have experience, he doesn't care. You can go in there even if you can't do it. It's no problem. You know, just because you know what to do is the most important thing. Knowing what to do is more important than actually doing it. These are bus driver players. They'll get the bus to the stadium where, you know, because if we didn't have them, the bus driver, nobody would know how to get to the stadium.
Toronto actually flipped here. Toronto opened 1.5. Philly now 1.5 favorite. Anunoby is a game time decision, a toss up.
There you go. It's probably one of it's got to be, you know, these game time decisions are always the thing in the NBA is you just don't know who's actually playing.
You mentioned how about March 20th at Philly, Toronto beat the 76ers, full squad for the 76ers, 93-88. So a low score there. And we got a total 215 opener has been bet up to 220. Let me just make sure I get this right. Yep, bet up to 220 in Toronto tonight. This is a Toronto team that missed the postseason last year, Michael. They're 12-3 over the last 15. You mentioned their last 10. How about over the last 15? They're 12-3. And they're 2 games up on Toronto, who's sitting currently in the 6th seed. So they're sitting 5th in the East. This is a very, it's a competitive team, kind of a weird identity, length, interchangeable parts. Siakam's playing great. It's a scary team right now.
They are, but I think the one area where Philly's got a chance tonight, and Philly's done this a little bit better in the last couple weeks, specifically with Tobias Harris. He's been able to shoot that corner three, and they make it fairly well. When you go over the data, the analytical data of Toronto's defense, one of the areas where they really are not very good is in corner threes. They rank 30th in the NBA in that category. They're only 21st in allowing 3 points. They give up 3-point shots at 38%. So, you know, I think that can certainly help. And if Philly, the other night against Indiana in the first half, they shot really well. They were really good shooting. In the second half, they didn't. They gave up a big lead. But, you know, the problem Philly has is offensive rebounding. They're not a great rebounding team. And, you know, they can't really do that. Their points per play is outstanding, but they give up too much to the backboard like they did 56-40 the last time they played them.
You know, I got a few emails this morning that I want to clear up. I don't know if everybody understands how the play-in works, Michael, so let's clarify this quickly. It's coming up next Tuesday, 12th through the 15th. It's very simple. The play-in tournament is three games, okay? The 7-8 game, 7 host 8. The winner of that game immediately gets the 7 seed, okay? Then you have the 9-10 game. So if you're taking a look right now at the East, how about that, for example? You've got Cleveland, Brooklyn. Cleveland would host Brooklyn. The winner of that gets the 7 seed as the standings
sit game,
right now.
One game only,
that's right.
Correct?
That's
one
correct.
Game. It's but a then, one game winner to get the 7
that's
seed.
That's correct. And then the 9-10 game, 9 hosts 10. The loser of the 7-8 game then hosts the winner of the 9-10 game. The winner,
in a one-game play,
and the winner gets the 8 seed. So, again, very simple for the play-in. It's 3 total games, 7-8, the winner gets the 7 seed. 9-10, the winner of that goes to the loser of the 7-8 matchups home, and then the winner of that game gets the 8 seed. It sounds more confusing than it is. It's just three games.
So if you're Philly, right, you know, Milwaukee's at 49-30. They have the advantage of the third seed. Boston has the advantage of the – there's probably a highly, highly likely scenario that Brooklyn's going to be the seventh seed. If they're able to overtake Cleveland, right, they get the seventh seed, you know, they'll be seventh. They'll play home. They won't play in Cleveland. If they don't, they'll play in Cleveland. And they'll overtake that. And then 7 plays 3. I mean, you're talking about an opening round of the East, which will be similar to a finals.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, right now, as it sits, Cleveland would host Brooklyn. Brooklyn came back from a 21-point deficit last night at MSG. Did you see that? They were trailing the whole entire game and came back from a 21-point deficit. Now, the problem is Julius Randle wasn't playing. So this Nets team right now isn't a team I would back.
They're not playing very good defense.
They're not playing defense at all.
But if that's 7-3, you're talking about two of the giants of the East, Milwaukee and Brooklyn. One of them will be eliminated in the first round. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Brooklyn is sitting, it's fascinating because right now you've got 7 Cleveland, 8 Brooklyn, 9 Atlanta, Charlotte's 10, and those are going to be your four because Cleveland's 2 behind the 6 seed in Chicago. Chicago, by the way, can't beat anybody.
They lost 3 in a row. They've lost 3 in a row, and they're now negative in point differential. I mean, so they're good. Their arrow is down. They're lucky they have a 2-game lead with 3 to play. They're the 64 Phillies.
Morikawa about the tee off. Michael Lombardi, of course, Tigers 1-under through 7. We'll keep you updated. Amal Shaw is going to join us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is your VSiN Masters Update.
Brady Cannon back with you down at the D in downtown Las Vegas, updating the 86th edition of the Masters. 2 sandy pars in a row for Adam Scott at 4 and 5 to remain at 1-under par, but then a bogey at the 6th drops the 2013 Masters Championship to even par. He is still 50-1 in the live market is Adam Scott. Justin Rose, a 3-time first round leader here at Augusta. He is now into red figures at 1-under par for the tournament. it through just two holes. Rosie at 66-1 in the live market. We've got two players in the lead right now, two under par. Takumi Kanaya, he is still 200-1 to win the tournament in the live market. Taylor Gooch remains at two under par, and he remains at 66-1. Cameron Smith now into red figures as he gets a birdie on eight. He's at one under par, and he is down to 12-1 to win the Masters. 11 players in red figures now atop the leaderboard, and look at some of the former winners that are one under par. Tiger Woods, 25-1. Danny Willett at 150-1, and the South African Charles Schwartzel at one under par. He is still at 400-1 to add a second green jacket. Back to Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi for more of the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the Masters is teed off, but that doesn't mean you still can't make some cash on the tournament. Our experts are going to tell you their best bets during the tournament for the matchups. Of course, long shot opportunities and which golfers have the best value to win on Sunday. Sign up today and get full access to VSiN through May. That includes the start of the baseball season and our NFL draft betting guide, all for $19. It's vsin.com/spring. That's vsin.com/spring. Okay, Lombardi Line, great job by Brady Cannon as we follow along the 86th Masters. It's unbelievable how Tiger's odds dropped today, right? As we welcome in our buddy Amal Shaw, one half of Odds On out at Circa, as we've got you covered from the D, Circa, Jersey, here in Vegas at the South Point. What's going on, Amal Shaw? How you feeling?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I've never asked you, are you a golfer?
Why don't you take a wild guess, buddy?
Well, you've got the long, sinewy build. It feels like you could be a good golfer, no?
Last time I played golf was in Tucson in 2006, and I said, you know what, enough of this nonsense. I had enough. By the way, I love how we're getting this thing shoved down our throat like it's some religious revival here. I'm waiting for Jim Jones to come on the air.
What's wrong with it? Why do we got to have that attitude, Amal?
Give me
it's
a
the
break.
Masters. We get it once a year.
Oh, give me a break. Did you go to church this morning and pray at the altar where about 4% of the people can get on the course at Augusta? Give me a break. It'd be more interesting for the U.S. Open, which is going to be in Boston this year. At least the average person can attend. I'm not even worried about that. I'm just happy, Patrick. You know, as a former New York City resident, Michael, you've been in the city a million times. I'm glad to see finally rats are getting killed, and we killed one Saturday night. And we don't have to talk about college hoops after that, but I'm glad the rat's gone.
Wow, there's nobody safe. I mean, you talk about a blitzkrieg. There's no one safe.
Hold on a second. Tell me who likes the rodent. 40 years of coaching at Duke, I don't see people coming out and saying, you know what, this guy was like a father figure to me. I had such an affinity for him. Nobody talks about him with such reverence.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I listen to a lot of people that seem to like him. I mean, you know, I don't know. Look, I'm sure he's got a lot of fans, but that's not what we're here to discuss. I mean, let's get back to this anger towards the Masters. You're the only person I've ever heard it, even people that don't like. Al Davis hated golf. He hated pipe smokers and golf. He hated pipe smokers and golf, anybody who played golf. But he actually was endeared to this. Like, oh, did you see that guy? He made a hell of a shot. You know, I mean, now he was way more into women's basketball. I mean, he loved that. I mean, he would have been a Dawn Staley fan tremendously for her ability to lead South Carolina to two national titles. That being said, you know, he was a connoisseur of all great events.
Yeah, what is your victory for Augusta and the Masters in general? Vijay Singh was Indian. They allowed him on the course. They'll let you out on the course.
I went for the Italians, too. It's okay.
It's actually probably the fact that everybody here at VSiN acts like you have to golf to work here. I think that's probably more of what it is than anything else.
I don't really care.
You would think this event is... this is why I like coming on your show. I'm associating with smart people. I mean, we're getting updates on this thing. Like,
Not to interrupt you, but here comes Brady Cannon with an update on the tournament. No, I'm just playing.
It's a good thing because my ESPN app is down.
I know. I've been trying to keep up with the tee times. I apologize. I've gotten a couple of them wrong. And then I keep on seeing the replays. I'm like, Tiger just dropped a shot. No, he didn't. By the way, just for those that want to keep track, he is one under through seven. Did you bet the tournament at all?
No, I've never made a golf wager in my life. Look, I think it's a lot of fun if you get on the course, you're out with friends, And I think the tournament's great, especially on Sunday, if you have big names in contention. But let's be real here. If you've got to get a program to find out who's in contention on Sunday, the ratings will not be as strong. And by the way, can we one more rant there, Michael, for you.
Please.
Can Jim Mann stop with the hello friends? We're not friends. Stop pretending to be my buddy. We're not friends. I've never seen him come on any of these shows. Hello, friends. Well, stop.
I mean, we should get him on. Maybe we'll get him on. He's a friend to everybody. He's even nicer in person than he is on the. Now he's taking shrapnel.
Hold on a second. How do you confuse me saying hello, friends, with him not being nice in person? At what point did I suggest or imply he's not a nice guy?
Oh wait, hold on.
You're
I'm
angry
just
for him for saying hello, friends. I think if we surveyed the crowd.
No. Listen, I'm just tired. I want Ian Eagle in there. I'm just tired of Nance and Grant Hill. Grant, who has no opinion on anything, Hill. I mean, come on. Let's get some people that are opinionated in there. That's why I like Billy Packer. Billy Raftery corrected immediately Jim Nance when he said the greatest coach ever. And Packer or Raftery goes the last 40 years. He got that right.
So let me just keep a tally here. Augusta, you're on the list. Coach yes. K, you've been called a rat. Mel Tucker.
Oh, Coach K's number one on the list. Him and David Stern. It's a photo finish.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you're absolutely a Hall of Famer on the list. Jim Nance, because you say hello, friends. You have been added.
Jim Nance, because he has no opinion. I love the fact that Romo puts him on the spot. Jim, is he going to make this kick or not? Right now, come on, tell me.
Look, I think that's the job of a play-by-play guy. He's not supposed to. That's why you have a color guy there making $17 million a year, for him to give you the color. That's why they call him the color guy.
I wasn't done. The whole VSiN staff, you're on the list. Golfers, you were on the list. Let's keep it going.
I didn't say anything about golfers. I said the Augusta people.
Let me ask you this. What are you and Mike going to talk about today if you're not talking about
We're actually going to talk about gambling related. We're going to actually talk about games, and we break down the games on our show, which most shows avoid doing so often here. We're going to actually break down baseball. We're going to get into it. The Oakland A's, you still have a chance to bet this team under. Think you still have an opportunity to bet the Dodgers to win the World Series. And the best bet on the board, you got about another 38 minutes for. No pitcher to have 300 strikeouts this year in Major League Baseball. That line's gone from minus 120 to minus 140 in certain places.
300 Ks. I like that bet. I like that one. That's a smart one.
Under that one.
How about
We'll
start that way. We've got a game, first pitch coming up in Chicago in little under an hour here. Burns, Hendricks, this total open 10. Now, the wind's blowing out, but it's going to be mitigated a little bit. It's going to be cold in the 40s. Also could potentially rain there. It's got hit down to 9, a big favorite for Milwaukee. By the way, if you're laying a run and a half with Milwaukee and juice at 115, that's an insane bet, because I know a lot of people are trying to get in on Milwaukee here. If you want to bet Milwaukee, you're laying anywhere between 170 and 180 here, Amal Shaw.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about the price on the road opening day. I think Hendricks is probably an undervalued guy, but he's more of a number three starter in my book, but he's always been consistent. Burns is the guy that's going to contend for the Cy Young. And Patrick, I thought you brought up a great betting point that people should heed moving forward. You don't ever want to really take a minus a run and a half, minus 115. Generally speaking, if you're going to lay the run and a half, you're better served doing it with a team that's on a plus price. And also, you like the option of potentially being on the road, because you get that ninth at bat, whereas you're at home, you may not get the nine at-bats where you might get that run in the ninth inning to push up to, say, a 5-3 lead where it was at 4-3. So something to consider as you get into baseball if you're not a frequent baseball bettor.
I'm not a run line bettor. Are you, Amal Shaw? I mean, I'll go plus. I'll take a run and a half plus, but I'm not going to take a run and a half and lay $1.50. You know what I mean? And I'm certainly not going to lay a run and a half and lay a price either.
I tend to bet a lot of run lines in baseball, especially on lines that are over 150, simply because the math supports it. And when you go back and look at some of the teams, particularly in the American League, and I think you'll see this now in the National League, with the designated hitter in play, you're going to have a little bit more of an offensive explosion from the NL, and pitchers will stay in games longer, which benefits you. So many times you have a pitcher in a tight game, 0-0, 1-1, whatever, gets pulled, and he's pitching extremely well, maybe into the sixth or seventh inning, and he gets lifted. And so I think now you have an opportunity where you have a few more runs scored with that extra at-bat in there, instead of what potentially Mike Palm talks about, and he's right on this. In the first basically 5 innings, he's assuming 4 outs with 30 at-bats of the pitcher coming up twice. So I think it's going to be beneficial moving forward in terms of how you see it in the first 6 innings, rather.
What's your sleeper team to bet on the over this year, Amal?
Well, it's not the Baltimore Orioles. I think the one thing team to keep an eye out for is the St. Louis Cardinals. because if Flaherty comes back mid-July, this kid's an ace. He's a stud. That lineup 2-3-4 is probably as good as anybody outside of Anaheim. Really like them quite a bit in terms of what they can do offensively. Can the pitching come around?
Amazing segment today, Amal. I mean, you bring the heat every time. You leave a lot behind, but you bring a lot of heat. I love it.
Do you have any
I didn't know if you...
Go ahead.
No, please. No, you. It's all you. I didn't know if Michael's friends with the rat or not. I would tell him if he was sitting right here, that phony. Mr. $3 bill himself.
That's Amal Shaw, legend.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM loyalty program. You can convert your BetMGM points into MGM reward points that you can use towards dining, shows, hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts and properties located in Vegas and nationwide. This is awesome. Like your credit card, every time you bet through the app at BetMGM.com, you're going to get points. So you're going to be a part of the loyalty program. It's a wonderful way to go. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. And if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. The Tiger Watch continues. Amal Shaw, of course, a big fan of our coverage here of the Masters on VSiN. He is Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Josh Applebaum joins us now. First off, Michael, I wasn't able to keep track of Tiger there. I know you got the app going. You see what's happening with him right now.
I can't really tell. I got the boat through the wake zone, that boat call Amal Shaw that goes through the wake zone at record speeds. I'm still trying to deal with the waves that he's created.
That's well put. That is well put.
I mean, he is truly the boat through. I think he's in trouble here. I think he's over a 9 and he's over far left.
He bogeyed 8, so he dropped the stroke at 8, so he is even on the tournament.
Our man Jick Jack is remarkable. He's got such insight. He just texted me and said that through knowledge, you know, as most bookmakers have, is that Tiger for the last 2 months have been walking 6 to 8 miles a day on an uphill climb to prepare for this, which will, you know, to get his leg in. He's still limping like this. Now he's kind of stuck in the pine needles here, and he's going to 9, which is to me one of the prettiest holes on the course. It's one of those holes that's wide open, yet it's impossible to get the ball close to the pin based on the undulations of the greens. It really requires the perfect second shot. So this is going to be a real challenge for him to get this even close to make par here.
And to Jick Jack's point, as we say hi to Josh Applebaum, this is Tiger Woods. He's trained with Navy SEALs in the past, so he's fanatic about his training. Josh, as we welcome you in, it's kind of a philosophical question, and I just said to Amal Shaw, once that number gets past 150 in Major League Baseball betting, he will go run line. It's just philosophical. It's something I've always avoided, run lines and puck lines in hockey. Do you have a take? Because with baseball, it's such a wide array, and there's so many games for 8 months. I'll generally just try to find some prices on dogs as opposed to laying. If I do bet the run line, I'll take the 1.5 plus money. Do you have a philosophy on run line betting?
So, Patrick, Michael, great to be with you. And by the way, guys, Michael, I hope you got your Mike Piazza mitt, because your boy over here, we got the Nomar, Louisville Slugger.
Oh,
so
you got a prop. So, yeah. We like this.
Oh, yeah. We got props. Yeah. We're ready to go here. But, Patrick, to your point before we hit on a couple games today, I think, you take each game individually. I don't think there's a, hey, if it's over 300, I'll go run line. Or, hey, if it's, a huge dog getting a plus 1.5 where you can get some plus money, grab that. So, again, I think you take each game individually. But to me, I'm really not going to bet any favorites in baseball, like minus 250 or more. At that point, maybe you target a first 5, maybe look at the prop market. It's just such a long season. Like hockey, Patrick, you know this. You and I are sometimes willing to lay bigger numbers because favorites win at a higher rate. In baseball, favorites still win about 65% of the time, but it's a little bit lower, and it's such a volatile season that if you continue to lay these big numbers, you're going to win a majority of the time, but because you're laying so much juice, you're not going to turn a profit at all. So I'll take them individually. To me, guys, I'm looking for divisional dogs with high totals. I'm looking at some, maybe 10-cent steam moves toward a home team. And again, windy unders and overs, that's something I'd also look for in MLB.
There you go. And speaking of windy, it's going to be windy in Chicago. No surprise. And you always listen. There's a few things you're looking. You're looking for umps. You're looking for weather, obviously. You're looking for the wind, the temperature. The temperature is going to be cold. In the 40s today at Wrigley, this game coming up in about 40 minutes here, Josh. The Brewers are a big favorite. Of course, won 95 in division and overall last year. They're laying $1.70. And you see that total, it has dipped from 10 down to 9.
Yeah, so I did lay it with the Brewers, Patrick. You know, I did saw a big move in their favor. You know, a lot of these books open the Brewers around a minus 150 favorite. They're steamed up to around minus 170. One thing to note going into today is that opening day favorites tend to do very well. You're rested. You're ready to go. You got your ace on the mound. Your bullpen is fully rested. Therefore, you know, all things being equal, that better team tends to win a majority of the time on opening day. Over the last 15 years, opening day favorites are 161 and 96, around 64%. So that's kind of my play on Milwaukee there with that big move. But to your point, Wrigley Field is always the field you got to look at the weather. And, you know, as bettors, this is something that we wait for. The other thing that you know how important weather is that these Chicago totals don't get posted the previous night. They typically wait until the morning. And what's notable to me, Patrick, is wind is howling out like 15 miles an hour to dead center. But the total actually fell. So it opened at like 10, 10 and a half. It's down to 9. You can buy low and take the 9. I'll lean a little bit over, especially with these pitchers up against it in a really shortened spring training.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Good job, Josh. I see what you're saying, Michael. He is over there in the pine needles, right? That must be on 9.
Yeah, now he went, and now he's in front of 9. He's got a direct chip, but whoever he's playing with just hit a hell of a shot, went in for an eagle. I don't know who that is, but as I just said, it's hard to get it close. My man here, I think it's Newman. Hello,
yeah, he's
Newman.
Playing.
I think
he got it close. The Chilean.
Hello,
Newman. Yeah, he is. He's tremendous.
Neiman. Yeah, we'll call him. Yeah, hello,
call him whatever you want. He is so he held out for an eagle.
A hell of a shot.
Yeah, he's tremendous. Tiger dropped a stroke on 8, so we'll keep you updated with the Masters coverage here on VSiN. Josh, another one which is interesting is Cincinnati.
Hold on, before we go there, Patrick. 8, you know, which see to me the winners of this tournament typically birdie the par fives all the way through, and for Tiger to get a bogey on 8, which is a hole that typically because of the length and because of how wide open it is, you know, you've got to really play these par fives. I mean,
oh,
the winner
take advantage
on Sunday,
you're right,
always is great on the par fives.
Yep, takes advantage of the par fives at Augusta. Always important. As I'm way behind you. I got to get on the app. How about the Reds, who have sold, you know, a couple teams have really kind of waved the white flag this year. The Reds, the Pirates are another. The Pirates got a $37 million payroll. So it gives you an idea of what they're looking at. But they're at the champs today, Cincinnati, at Atlanta. And this number with Fried on the bump open a little over $2 has been bet down to 170, 180-ish. What gives with the Red money here, Josh?
Yeah, it's kind of perplexing here. Maybe Pete Rose put a big wager on his old team here today. Something's going on because, yeah, they opened laying around like minus 200. They're down to, as you mentioned, Patrick, you know, minus 180 around the market here. So there was some movement here towards Cincinnati. Do I have the stones to bet the Reds here today? Not really, but I do have a play in this game, guys. This, to me, is your top windy over today. Remember, when the wind's blowing out, it really can benefit overs. Typically, you know, a warning track fly ball could be pushed into a first row home run there. So I always look at this kind of windy over system. It's kind of an auto bet for me, and this is your top windy over. So the total in this one, guys, open around 8. You can still find an 8. I think you can shop around. It's there. You got to pay like minus 115, minus 120, but it's getting steamed up to around 8.5. So I played the over 8 in this one. You do have great weather here in Atlanta. It's going to be about 60 degrees. The wind is blowing out to dead center about 12 to 15 miles an hour. So that's my play on this one, guys. Also combining the fact that these pitchers are not stretched out. I'm looking for some runs here. Try to find the 8. Big difference between an 8 and an 8.5. This is a 5-3 game. You want to push your 8. You don't want to lose it there if you miss it and get the hook.
And you're talking about playing the under five. You're talking about 5-inning play, right, Ross, Josh?
I'm talking full game here, yeah. So full game over 8,
okay.
Yeah, with the wind blowing out. Yeah, exactly.
A couple of notes. That Washington, they're hosting the Mets. That got pushed back today. McGill's going to be on the bump for the Mets, of course. No DeGrom and no Strasburg for Washington. This is a team that sold everybody last year. Corbin, who was horrible last year. You have the Mets here, Josh, a slight favorite. 128 opener. It's been bet down to 118, 120-ish with the Mets on the road. But Washington is a team that is, let's say, rebuilding and trying to sign Juan Soto for the future.
Yeah, Patrick, you're very kind calling it the rebuild there in Washington.
I mean, they sold everybody.
Yeah, they're just resting on their laurels from that World Series a few years ago. But I'm kind of intrigued by the Nationals here. They're kind of a close play to me. I'm going to monitor this thing because it's a 7 o'clock game. But you did open the Mets around a minus 125 favorite. They're all the way down to, you know, minus 115, minus, we're showing minus 111 on our board. So this is kind of a just a classic reverse line move. Public is on the Mets, even though it's no Scherzer, it's no DeGrom today, it's Trevor Meagher. But yet, despite getting around 60% of bets, the line has fallen toward the Nationals. So Nationals, as bad as they are, you know, it's kind of a pretty, you know, almost an even number at this point. So it's not like a minus 180. And also with the public on the Mets, the line should go to the Mets. It's not. It's going to Washington here. So I'll lean on a divisional dog here with a high total, a little bit here on the Nats if it continues that way. But I am going to play another over, guys. I'm playing a lot of these overs with these pitchers not stretched out and wind blowing out. This opened with a total of 9. It's getting juiced up like it's going to 9.5. So you can still find a 9. Give me the over 9 in the Mets game.
Good job, Josh. And that was Neiman on 9 with the eagle, Michael. It looks like Tiger is going to have. It looks like Tiger's going to have a 10-footer
coming back down this hill. Yeah. He saw Neiman. He saw Hello Neiman's ball go right in there. So
he's above the.
We got to get when Brady Cannon comes on. We got to ask him about our Neiman. I mean, that was a hell of a shot.
It really was. Josh, thoughts on the dirty water and your Red Sox this year overall?
So I'm looking at the over win total here, guys. There's a lot of talk right now with Rafael Devers, whether or not they'll be able to sign him. They offered him a deal that was probably a little bit low and he rejected that. So I'm getting nervous that, you know, he may walk in a couple of years. But even though the AL East is really loaded, Sox had a good year last year. Their pitching is questionable, but I think that offense is going to keep them in the game. If you can find like an over 85.5 Red Sox, that's going to be my play. I am annoyed, though, guys. I wanted Red Sox Yankees today. It got rained out.
You're such a homer. Here's the par putt.
I'm a Homa.
You're a Homa. Max Homa.
Right down the middle. Right down the middle.
He saves great par save right on there. 9. Tremendous after dropping a shot on 8. So Tiger back to even. He's sitting pretty. He's sitting fine. We continue. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it with the bat. Lombardi line.
This is your VSiN Masters Update.
Tiger Woods won 5 Masters tournaments by dominating the par fives. Well, a mistake on number 8. He just bogeyed the 8th hole par 5 to get back to even par, but rebounds with a huge par save on number 9. He makes the turn at even par, and in the live market, Tiger Woods remains at 40-1 to win the 86th edition of the Masters. Cameron Smith has been on fire. He made a double bogey on the first hole. He then made a birdie on the 5th and the 6th and the 8th and the 9th. He makes the turn at 2 under par. He is currently the odds-on favorite to win the Masters at plus 850. Joaquin Neiman does one better. He dumps it in on his second shot on 9 for an eagle. He makes the turn at 3 under par, and he is 16-1 to win the Masters. Lee Westwood to 2 under. The old guard showing up here at Augusta. Things are heating up. Matthew Wolf, by the way, is dead last currently at 8 over par through just 12 holes. But like I say, things really heating up here on top of the leaderboard. 16 players now into red figures, and the wind is absolutely freshening. Supposed to hit about 15 miles an hour at 2 p.m. Eastern, and that is, of course, not far away. Back to the Lombardi line with Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi here on VSiN.
Listening to the Lombardi line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the Masters is teed off, Brady, but that doesn't mean you still can't make some cash. Brady's going to get you paid. To the rest of the crew, Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, our experts are going to teach you and help you during the tournament for matchups, long shot opportunities, which golfers have the best value to win on Sunday. Sign up today, get full access to VSiN through May. That includes the start of the baseball season. Of course, we've got the baseball betting guide. Great job by everybody. And our NFL draft betting guide, which is going to drop right before the draft. So it's all for $19. You can't miss this opportunity. It's vsin.com/spring. That's vsin.com/spring. So as we welcome you back, Tiger makes the turn. He did find the fairway on the par 4th 10th.
That's a great
hole. He's even.
That's such a pretty hole. I mean, I'm sure Amal doesn't like it, but it's a beautiful hole 10. I mean, that undulation on 10 and 11, the way that it is, it's just beautiful. That 11th where that little, you know, you got to shape it around there and the creek on the left. I mean, it's so nice. You know, I mean, obviously it wasn't nice enough for them all, but we'll proceed along accordingly, Patrick.
By the way, you take a look, throw up the leaderboard quickly here. It is not an American leaderboard, that's for sure. Neiman's from Chile. Cameron Smith's Australian. Schwartzel's, I believe, South African.
Looks like you got a Japanese player. Westwood is English.
Well, Patrick Reed, I think he's one under after two or two under. I mean, Patrick Reed, you know, he's won it before. So
Captain
you know,
America.
It's a long Captain America. It's a long way. There's a long way. But I think what Brady said about this wind, and I hope Zalatoris has got his ankle weights, but this wind, you know, is going to play a factor for these guys who are teeing off at, you know, later in the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. As we were delayed a little bit, maybe 30 minutes, 30 plus minutes on the start of the tournament today. So we'll keep you updated. Great job by Brady out at the D all throughout
Tremendous.
The day. Yeah, it's a lot. It's
Tremendous.
A ton of fun. It's a good vibe
it
here on VSiN. By the way, a couple things I wanted to ask you as far as the NFL. What does this wide receiver market, Stephon Diggs, mm-hmm. now, again, if I tell you it's 4 years, $100 million, who knows?
Yeah.
What, that's just a number they throw out. We got to talk about the guaranteed money. But he does get the extension. And I'm sure you heard the report that Douglas and the Jets were willing to give up the 10th overall pick for DK Metcalf, and Seattle said no. But what I do find fascinating, Michael, is the wide receiver market is getting reset here, right? You got
no doubt.
Christian Kirk getting a big deal from Jacksonville.
Well, that's kind of set it all off. I mean,
right.
Kirk's not a number one receiver, got paid like one. You know, so that sets the whole thing moving in a direction. Amari Cooper didn't take a pay cut. He ended up getting $20 million a year, which he didn't play to that level. He got rewarded. So this domino effect, that when you look at what Diggs had two more years left on the contract he originally signed when he got traded. So this allowed them to lower their cap number, give them more guarantee, extend them out, helps Buffalo with their cap situation. I think we're going to continue to see this. It has refocused it. I think the teams like the Jets, you know, when we look at the situation with Metcalf, he's 24 years old. He did not have, he had 11 touchdowns last year. But his yards per attempt catch were down last year. He's down to 12. He typically averaged 15. You know, and for me, coming out, I thought he was going to be more of a vertical outside receiver. He's improved some of his change of direction, and he's run his route tree is much bigger than I suspected it would be when he was a player at Ole Miss. But, you know, I think what Seattle's doing, and it's a smart thing, if you're John Schneider, we'll trade him, but we're going to say no for a while. And there's a lot of reports that they've been saying no, that no team's really interested. And, you know, for them, they have this year and next year that they have them. Plus they have a franchise year. So when you add all those three, he's played three seasons. They got a fourth year, which is this year coming up. They tendered him. Then they have a fifth year on the franchise. So for the next 2 years, he can be part of their rebuild until they decide what they want to do. So to move him, you've got to make it really economically valuable for them in terms of assets coming back.
You know, what you've taught us here on VSiN is follow the agents. The agent that is shared by A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf, well, they share an agent. I should put it that way.
Sure they do.
A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, do you see the Titans or the Seahawks moving either player?
Well, you know, they're both so different, right? So A.J. Brown is this, you know, it's not who covers A.J. Brown because he's always covered. It's who's tackling A.J. Brown. And that has tremendous value, you know. And A.J. Brown is a physical, tough, you know, receiver that will make all the catches. He's not going to be an instantaneous get open guy, but he is going to, if you throw the ball in his area, he will. Metcalf obviously can tilt the field in his favor with his speed that he builds as he runs. So they're different, but they're both really valuable. And Brown can play that inside slot, which I think gives him an advantage, like a big tight end going down the middle of the field. I think he's better inside out, whereas Metcalf's better outside. And you know, both are going to feed off each other. I mean, look, you know, nobody wants to say we'll draft a guy in the third round like we did with Brown, or in the low second round like they did with Metcalf. So, you know, everybody wants to pay, but so many teams don't have that luxury to pay for this. This is why the Jets are out there. They know they have a quarterback for the next 4 years at economic value. They can afford to go extend themselves to a young player receiver to really help him.
Yeah, the Jets certainly not one player away.
You don't want to be too young at certain skill places, right? You got a young quarterback, so when you have a young quarterback, you kind of need more veteran receivers. You want to have people around them that can help him. that is going to let him kind of get going a little bit. And, you know, like, let's take Deshaun Watson. When he first starts out at Houston, he's got, you know, he's got Hopkins there to really help him get going. And, you know, it kind of becomes his safety blanket. And Will Fuller was there. So they had. Now they've got Corey Davis and this young Elijah Moore, this kid that they drafted last year, certainly can help him. But they hate Denzel Mims. I mean, they would trade probably Denzel Mims. They never played him. I think that the general manager likes him. I don't think the coaches like him. So I think if they added a young player with experience to go along with it, because Corey Davis is not a – you're not going in the game saying, oh, my God, Corey Davis, we got to slow – you know, he's a possession inside receiver. Elijah Moore is kind of a point guard. You need that vertical outside guy to help their offense.
I mentioned the draft's coming up on the 28th, Michael. So what are we sitting, 21 days away, just right down the road here in Las Vegas. Are you hearing – over the past couple of days, I haven't spoken to you. Is there any buzz, any text messages, any buzz on the drafts that you're hearing? I know Stingley Jr. Was huge at his little pro day there.
I think the thing we have to be really careful of is now everybody's on these 30 visits, and they're off. Well, the Panthers brought in 30. I talked about this on the podcast today. You know, when the people do these mock drafts today, they're talking about, you know, well, Carolina needs a quarterback, so let's give them Kenny Pickett. If you do any study and read this column that I wrote today on VEASAN, if you do any studies of the history of first-round quarterbacks, the chances of Kenny Pickett saving Matt Rhule's job are less than 5%. It's not very good. And if you are in the last, if you're worried about your job security, don't take a quarterback. I mean, just ask Matt Nagy, ask John Fox, because they'll get you fired playing young quarterbacks. Yeah. What will help you is when you first get the job like Arthur Smith is to take a quarterback and then build with them that way. That's the best way to plan. But to me, you're all this nonsense about connecting. Well, Matt Corral's going to Seattle on a visit, and the Panthers had three quarterbacks. That means nothing. All it is due diligence.
If you take a look at your monitor, approach shot for Tiger on 10, that par 4, landed on the green but fell off. So there he is, makes the turn even on the tournament. And he's going to have, it looks to be about a 25-footer for birdie off the green there on 10. Okay, just was curious. Anything on the draft?
What do you got tonight? Are you going to, I mean, I see the line flipped Philly-Toronto. I mean, I can't imagine Toronto. I mean, it went from Toronto being favored to now Philly.
To me, and no Thibel, as we mentioned. So
I guess Thibel's not going to play, you know. And
Ananobi, I guess, is Philly, the one.
I don't think Philly wants to get to the third seed. And you think Philly wants to get to the third seed?
Well, that's the thing. This becomes about gamesmanship as far as seeding.
It really is. I like Toronto on that. I mean, Doc looks. I mean, I know there's no golf to play in Toronto today, but you know, it might be a good idea.
You think Doc's preparing for Toronto tonight or watching the Masters
us? No. Probably watching the Masters with us and making sure that we get – probably we'll get a lot of Millsat tonight because we don't – he's got experience. We got to get him out there.
So you're telling me Doc has been excited about the Brady Cannon updates?
More than them all. I know that.
Speaking of them all, he and Mike are next. Odds on, Michael. I'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.
Thank you, Patrick.